We are joined right now, as promised, by a guard with the Phoenix Suns, 19 years in the NBA, a three-time Sixth Man of the Year Award winner, 2018 NBA Teammate of the Year Award winner. 6 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds versus Sacramento on Tuesday. One of only 5 players in NBA history with 50-point games for 3 different teams. Phoenix is at Portland tonight. He is a friend of the program. Jamal Crawford is my guest. Jamal, it is so good to have you back. How are you, Jamal?
I'm good. That was a heck of an introduction. Thank you.
My man, you got a great resume. You have a super resume. Always happy to talk about it. Hey, let's go back to the offseason. A number of teams were interested in you, but as you told the Undefeated, you could sign a deal, but you were not going to sign one just to sign one. So what were you looking for in a team and in a situation?
For me, I thought fit was important. Last year, I thought it would be a really good fit, but it didn't turn out that way. So for me, I thought fit kind of trumped everything else. And I thought coming to Phoenix, I knew, you know, everybody was like, hey, they're young, they're really young. And, you know, they have work to do, but sometimes, like I said before, it's important to help get something from point A to point C rather than B, you know, just from the end of the game. So for me, I thought it was important to kind of lead the way for the younger group and try to help out where I could.
You know, you just kind of mentioned that, but what do you mean by that exactly? I would imagine that kind of relates to working with the younger guys, but in going from point A to point C, how do you go about doing that and why is that so important?
Because these are guys that are just kind of starting out their career. Seeing a guy like Ayton, you know, seeing a guy like Mikal Bridges, seeing Ellie, our young point guard, seeing Melton, these young guys, Booker obviously taking that next step. He's already a guy that's established in the league, but taking that next step to true stardom, you know, just kind of getting in their mind frame and giving them knowledge and wisdom and work ethic and just different pointers in the game. And then also doing it by example, you know, seeing guys like Trevor Ariza, who was actually my rookie in New York, Ryan Anderson, and Tyson was here when I signed as well, seeing that nice group of veterans. And I really believe in Igor. I believe he's going to be an outstanding coach. Obviously, he's a first-year coach, and there's things you have to go through. But I believe in the long run, he'll be outstanding.
Jamal Crawford joining us. You know, you've got so much to impart upon the younger guys, but it's not this, just that you're there leading. I mean, you're there grinding every single day like you always have. You're doing the work. You're putting up shots. What is it that keeps you motivated and keeps you putting in all that time these days?
Just love of the game. That's really it. Like, I love the game more than anything else. So for me, as long as I'm on a basketball court somewhere, I'm okay. You know, and to be able to still work at your craft, still get better, not know everything, still want to learn, still want to compete, still want to actually go out there and produce and be in those moments where you can hit winning shots or be in those moments where it's tight games and it can go either way. You know, just that drive, and it really gets the blood boiling. So just pure love of the game.
Phoenix Sun, Jamal Crawford joining us. Now, last month you scored your 19,000th career point. It's a really big number. That's put you ahead of guys like Scottie Pippen. You're closing in now on guys like Bernard King and David Robinson. What does that number represent to you?
It's an unbelievable number. It really is. And for me, like you said, I don't look so much at the number, but I look at the names. You know, some of my favorite players growing up, whether it be Penny Hardaway or Grant Hill or Magic Johnson, Pistol Pete, seeing all these guys that I'm passing, like guys that influenced and had so much influence on my game. So to see the names is just, it's humbling. It really is. And that means more to me than the number, because those are guys who had an effect on my game. Isaiah Thomas, you know, I wear number 11 because of him. So to be able to pass some names like that, it says everything.
Jamal, I could ask you about any one of the guys you just mentioned, but the name that kind of jumps out to me is Pistol Pete. I've never seen a guy play the game like him. I mean, there were some other guys that had a lot of flair, a lot of charisma, a lot of style, a lot of swagger, but I'm not sure I've ever seen a guy like that. What did you think about his game?
It was unique. Think about it right now, right? If you went back and watched it from 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was still transferred to today. You know, it wasn't like it was outdated. It was so far ahead of its time that it was timeless. He had a timeless game. He had a game that you could appreciate even today, all these years later. Seeing what he did in college, seeing what he did in the NBA, hearing stories about him riding down the car with his father dribbling the ball while the car was moving. So many stories about creativity, and I think sometimes that's the lost art, just the pure love for the game and getting better and new ways to bring different things to the game. I thought he was a trendsetter in that respect.
Jamal Crawford joining us. I agree. Not only is his game timeless, I mean, even today his game would be like, holy bleep. Did you see what that guy did? Now, you've had some amazing games in your career, like the time you scored 118 in a game, but you told Dan Wojcicki of the LA Times your favorite game ever was the time you scored 52 against Dwayne Wade in Madison Square Garden. What do you remember about that game?
Well, to be honest with you, I remember I missed my first four shots.
Wow.
I'm such
wow.
a rhythm guy. I missed my first four shots. And then I scored 42 straight points without a miss. So that was just unbelievable. And it was just like you're on stage. I remember Heath Ledger was at that game, Michael Rapaport. There were so many different people, but you just get lost in time. Like everything's in slow motion. They had just won the championship the year before, you know, and Dwayne Wade's one of the best players I ever played against. So to be able to be on that stage and kind of go back and forth with him a little bit was unbelievable. And it was incredible because I came out with 7 minutes to go. So that was the hottest night of my life. It easily, and I very humbly say, it could have been a 60-65 point game if I'd have stayed in the rest of the way.
Oh, for sure it could have. For sure. And the amazing thing about you missing four in a row to start, you scored 42 straight without a miss at one point. What's it like to be in a zone like that when everything slows down? And is there a way to get into that zone again? Do you try to get into the zone, or is it just something that happens?
It's something that happens, but you definitely have a feel for it. You don't look at the floor to see if it's a three or a two. You're just looking for space. And once you feel that space, you feel like, hey, I can shoot it and it'll go in. Sometimes you feel like you can kick it up there and it might go in. And you just feel lost. And it's amazing because it's never just about you. You know, your teammates are giving you the ball. They're setting great screens. The crowd's getting into it. And you feel all those different things, you know. So it's just an unbelievable feeling. And I scored 50 after that, but never like that, hitting 16 straight shots, and 8 of the 16 were threes. So that was pretty cool.
Jamal Crawford joining us. I think you do a great job on Twitter. And recently you were asked, what's your favorite single Jordan that you own? And your response was, quote, the ones he gave me. So what's the story behind that pair or the pairs?
Yeah, I actually got a great relationship with him being in Chicago. I used to work out with him. Funny story, for two straight years, I played basketball with him in the summer, and we never lost a game. It was when he was coming back to the Wizards. And he really took a liking to me. I started going to his house to work out with him. He picked me to be in a commercial, Gatorade commercial with him, the old Jordan versus the young Jordan. But he gave me his first pair of Jordans he ever wore against the Bulls as an opponent, and he gave me the last pair, and I have both pairs. So those are my favorite ones.
That's awesome. Jamal, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, and I understand that guys in different generations, it's hard to compare guys. But, I mean, you mentioned it. You had a relationship with him. You played with him, against him. You know what Mike's about. I mean, instead of me asking you who's the GOAT, I'll put it to you another way. I mean, could you argue that somebody's more so than Michael Jordan?
Not for me. He was just excellent. He was so good. If you go watch Come Fly With Me, right, his documentary that came out, it came out the summer of 1990. On there, they were already saying he had dominated basketball and he was the best. He hadn't even won a championship then. Then he goes and wins three in a row. He gets bored with that, goes and plays baseball, comes back after he gets himself together and wins three more in a row, 6 and 8 years. Like, he's just out of this world. And for me, the bigger the moment, the better he was. And he never saw a game seven in the finals. He never lost in the finals. So we may not have seen the most clutch moment that he had in his body, in his mind, in his heart. You know, so for me, it's not even close. He's the best ever.
Phoenix Sun, Jamal Crawford joining us. I appreciate that a lot. You were also asked about the toughest defender you ever faced, and you said Tony Allen. So what was it about Tony Allen and the pride that this guy took in his defense? What made him so tough?
Oh, it was unbelievable. You know, just him coming to the arena, you knew it was going to be a dogfight. He had me thinking on offense, and that's the best thing you could do as a defender, is think, have that offensive player thinking what to do, what not to do. And with him, he took so much pride in it. Him getting a stop was like scoring a bucket, and he took full pride in that. He owned that. He didn't ask for help. He wanted that mano-a-mano challenge, and he was just the best. And then there were other good guys, Doug Christie, Bruce Bowen. But Tony Allen, for me personally, was probably the toughest.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. I would imagine you have a great deal of pride in this. Your peers in the league voted for you to receive the NBA Teammate of the Year Award. So what does that award mean to you?
That meant everything, even more than the Sixth Man of the Year Awards, to be honest with you. Because when you're getting those type of awards, you know, through the Sixth Man, you're doing a certain number of scoring, a certain number of winning. The Teammate of the Year is not an award you can measure. It's not something you're trying to win. You're not trying to go out there and say, I'm going to be the best teammate to win this award. You're trying to put other people before you put yourself. And that's, to me, spoke more to character and really having somebody else's best nature in front of your own and no agenda. So I was really, really proud of that one.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford. A couple of days back, too, there was this great, great photo of you and Bill Russell spending some time together, knowing what he's meant to the game and to society. What's it like when you get even a second with somebody like Bill Russell? How much do you value that?
Oh, you can't even measure it. You always feel in awe, if that makes sense. And we really developed our relationship this summer. I remember he sent me a text saying he's coming to my pro-am game, and my wife thought I was being catfished. And then when he came, it was funny. It was a pro-am game. My pro-am goes on every weekend. the game almost stopped. It was like frozen in time. It didn't stop, but it actually stopped. And even the players on the court gave him a standing ovation. Everybody in the crowd gave him a standing ovation. He's just, he's royalty, not just basketball royalty, but American royalty. And he's been unbelievable for me and for even people that don't know him. It's just an inspiration.
I agree with you. Before you go, so you've got all these young guys right now that are taking their cue from you and they're learning from you and you're teaching them how to win, how to prepare, how to bounce back every single night. When you were coming up, who were some of the guys that kind of took you under your wing, guys that you respected and admired and that you learned a lot from?
Oh, yeah, Charles Oakley, Rick Brunson, Kendall Gill, Fred Hoiberg, Scottie Pippen. I had some really good vets after my first couple of years. The first couple of years, we were really, really young. And then from there, the next couple of years in Chicago, we had some really, really good vets and guys who really wanted to see the next generation do things the right way. And, you know, it's all these years later, I'm helping pass that on. So those guys are some really good teachers.
Hey, Jamal, last thought. I don't want to paraphrase this because I can't do it justice, but that play, that piece that dropped in the Players Tribune from Allen Iverson this morning, and he talks about Mike, and he tells the most amazing story that before Michael Jordan's last All-Star game, AI's looking for Mike. He wants to have a moment with Mike. He's looking all over for him. He can't find him. And he finally goes into the coach's office, and Mike is already in his jersey. He's at the coach's desk, feet up on the desk, and he's smoking a cigar before the All-Star game. And AI's like, you got to be kidding me. He's like, this is the coolest dude ever, quote, the black Jesus. There will never be anybody that cool, and he'll never even have to work to be that cool. Did you ever see Mike do anything like that, or anybody do anything like that for that matter?
Oh, no. I've seen, like I said, being around him for two straight summers, I've seen it all. I've seen where he would actually wear an outfit, right? So he would wear some type of yellow Jordan outfit, and outside he would have a yellow Ferrari to match, you know, like with his Jordans that probably still aren't coming out. Like, he was the coolest thing ever. And it was amazing because I saw bits and pieces of AI's article. And he's absolutely right. There's a glow around Michael Jordan that you can't even explain. I've never seen it with anybody else. There's a glow around him that's just like, he definitely freezes time. It could be, he's the star that gets the star starstruck, if that makes sense. And that's why he's the GOAT.
That does make sense. And you're right. That's the phrase that he used. There's a glow around Michael Jordan. I love that story, Jamal. It's kind of like he didn't accessorize the outfit with the car. I think he accessorized the car with the outfit. Like, if I'm going with my yellow, right?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Friend of the program, and you've got one of the best to ever do it. 19 years in the NBA, Jamal Crawford. Jamal, you know I appreciate you so much. It is always good to have you on the show. And so great to get caught up, Jamal. Thank you so much, man.
Always, Jim. Anytime. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you very much, Jamal. He is a pro. He is such a pro. 19 years in. You know what I'd love to? He, and never, ever, ever going to disrespect anybody, he did not have a problem answering the question that I didn't even want to ask. He's like, oh, no, Mike's the best. Mike's the best ever.